This is Hypothetical Help with Scott and Terpster, neither of whom are actual therapists or counselors. Any advice given on this show is truly hypothetical.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back yet again to another episode of Hypothetical Help, Season 2, Episode 14. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me today, as always, is the Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello. It is actually Episode 2 of Season 2, which is Episode 14, collectively, of Hypothetical Help.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? I gotta quit
doing
that.
I like it, though. No, it's nice. It's good. It kind of works on the old-style clock, not the 24-hour clock. Or is it? No, it's like the 24-hour clock. 1400 hours is 2 p.m. 14:02.
So
it's gonna be easy to work it out.
I call the time number, it goes boop, and then I hear a British guy go,
The time now is
a blur to blur. Is your government to thank for that service?
Maybe. I mean, we did invent time.
That's
probably what it is.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice job on that, by the way. Good work.
You're welcome.
Time's good. Yeah. For those who don't know, if you're just joining us for the first time, this show is where we give hypothetical help to hypothetical problems to people all over the internet. We are not experts, but we like to pretend we are. Let's jump right in. We got some good stuff. First of all, I don't know what this one is, but I'm hoping Terpster can translate.
Hola, Scott y Terpster. Tengo una pregunta para ustedes, si me pueden escuchar. Tengo un perro y puedo tener bebés. ¿Cómo, qué va a ser un buen nombre para llamar los bebés? Gracias. Me gusta mucho, me gusta todos los podcasts que tienes. Adiós. Bye.
Translate.
No hablo español. Cómo se.
Sí.
Sí.
Mucho sí. Bueno está
mucho
aquí.
Mucho bueno. Yeah.
El Ferrigno.
I think just to convert the advice for everyone else there, basically what we're saying is just, keep it chill. It's all good. and, let us know how it goes.
I don't know anything about what he said. So.
Do you reckon he could have just said something really offensive? Maybe he, we don't know what he just said. He could have said anything. So it worries
me a little
bit.
He could have said, I don't know. Let's guess. Let's do the worst guess we could. So I think he said, Terpster, I know about your sex change. You're not fooling anyone. Is that the one?
Yeah, but that's public knowledge. So I don't know why you'd be saying anything about that anyway.
That's on Wikipedia.
Exactly. If you Wikipedia Terpster, that's like the main segment. They've actually got one of the little categories is sex change.
I'm weirded out in general by the call because I just don't know why we would get a Spanish call. And
I don't know. After the football thing, what was that? On the end of season one, we had obviously we were wondering what football meant. And then last week we were told it was Spanish. And then we got this Spanish guy phoning in thinking that we speak Spanish.
And I didn't hear the word football in his thing.
No,
I have this suspicion that this guy is like me. But is knows Spanish because something about it had kind of like a not right accent.
It didn't sound like a Spanish person. Yeah. And there was a few times when he was trying to think of what's the word podcast. Yeah, podcast. Screw it. Hablo a podcasto. And it's like, all right, fair enough.
Hablo a podcasto. Anyway, maybe we
whack an O on it. That's all you got to do.
We should do a little Spanish. Hello. It's a Spanish flea. This will fit the mood for a little Spanish speaking guy. I feel better about it already.
I think exactly. That would be a good thing to do home improvements to.
I agree.
Just have that in the background as you're painting or soaring. One of the two. You get a good rhythm going, and before you know it, jobs are good.
All right, moving on to an actual call that we can understand. We can translate English, and it comes to us from someone who's getting back on the meds.
Hey, it's Captain Dirk. This is Luke. Just got a question for you. I have been on and off of ADHD, ADD medication for the past few years, or not 2 years, since about middle school, and I'm just out of high school now. I'm just finished up my first year at college. Just wondering, I am currently not on it right now on medication just because I can function well enough My only question is, I can get back on the medication, but I'm wondering if you think it would be worth it for me. I still have a little bit of a problem, like, concentrating on certain things. Keeping my attention span for long periods of time is slightly difficult. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts on it. Is it worth it to be going back on to medication just to keep attention good? Or, I don't know, what do you think?
All right. It's terrible. We shouldn't laugh. But at the end, there was blatantly a butterfly floating past.
Right.
So we're like, is it worth, oh, it's a butterfly. keep in mind. The thing is, if there was a butterfly, I'd be looking at the butterfly going like, there's a butterfly.
No, what you know what? You just said what I that's a perfect analogy to say, because that's kind of going to be my advice here, which is, I'm going to expose a little bit of myself here. In 2004, in late summer of 2004, I went into a doctor's office because I was having tension headaches. Just headaches, nothing major, but like ibuprofen and stuff wasn't working. So I was like, well, I'll at least go get it checked out, make sure everything's okay. I have this doctor whose first notion, his first inclination and reaction was just to prescribe some medication that was way overkill for what I needed. I didn't know what it was, and I was at a point in my life where the last time I'd ever gone into a doctor for anything was like 8 years before that. I don't take medication of any kind other than aspirin occasionally or ibuprofen or something. So I'm super naive to what doctors, you know, can sort of go overboard with sometimes. This guy says, oh, yeah, take one of these a day. These are going to really help you. Take up to three if you have a problem. Let me know how things go. And I said, okay, great, no problem. Even though I'm super versed with the internet, I'm not going to research this at all because I trust doctors. They're supposed to know what they're doing. We're paying you big money, so I'm just going to take these pills, which I did.
And sounds fairly silly, in my opinion.
It was totally silly. I
should have totally Googled it.
I look back now and I go, dude, what were you doing? And I Google everything now. But I ended up having terrible, terrible, terrible reaction to this medication. The problem was I didn't know it was the medication causing it because it was slow and it came on kind of slowly to the point that I thought I was just dealing with more of the problem that started with tension headaches. But really, the entire time it was this medication, I built up what is referred to as tolerance withdrawals, which means I essentially had become dependent on it. And I was going through withdrawal symptoms because I needed to have the dosage upped. When I finally figured it out, what was going on, I quit cold turkey and spent about a month in cold sweats and in the dark. Horrible time for me. Rough, awful.
Sounds nasty.
Never touched it again. Never went back to it. No desire. But it still has lingering effects on me all the time. I have all kinds of physical issues that come up because of that stupid, stupid time in my life. Now, all of that being said, I'm not saying that, hey, run away, doctors shouldn't be trusted, don't take medication. I'm saying it's an issue of severity and also of professionalism on the doctor's side. So if you are dealing with stuff that is super severe, like your attention deficit disorder is a truly diagnosed problem and is really severe, then the medications they have for that are made for you. They're miracles, in fact, and they work great. And there's no reason why you shouldn't consider doing that again. But if you're not in the position of big severity and it's stuff you can sort of live with and get by, I mean, we all have a little ADD, I'll admit it.
Mm. I Googled it and I started reading up the symptoms and thought, oh, crap, I got it.
Exactly.
Because it's like, you know, are you easily distracted, miss details, forget things, frequently switch from one activity to another, have difficulty focusing on one thing, you know, and stuff like that. And you start thinking, yeah, there was that one time or I did the blah, 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 you know. And I think everyone has those elements. And it's just a case of, you know, how much you can live with it, like you were saying.
What you just read,
it sounded pretty altogether on the phone.
Yeah.
So sure. I don't know if that was a good day or a bad day, but if you can live without it, yeah, that sounds scary. What you were saying about, you know, kind of becoming dependent on
drugs, it was horrible.
Becoming addicted.
It was horrible. What they were giving me were essentially tranquilizers, which worked great for those headaches for the first 2 weeks. It was great. It was like, bing, they went away. I honestly didn't look it up. I didn't even check. And this makes me naive and lame, and I hate myself for it. But it was great for the first couple of weeks. Then these weird symptoms, and I'm talking about weird stuff like I would walk into a Walmart and suddenly have like crippling panic attack or something. Yeah, and just well, crumble on the floor. Yeah, well, it is Walmart.
The guy came up and was like, "Hey, welcome to Walmart," and you're like, "Oh," and you run out.
But
like,
I'd never had a panic attack, so I didn't know what that was. So to me, that was like this foreign.
That was freaking you out more.
Oh my gosh, it was horrible. I thought the world was ending. I honestly, for a while, thought I was dying. And my poor wife, my poor kids, they're just like, "What is wrong with Dad?" And I didn't know what was wrong with me until I figured out what the crap was going on. And then the withdrawals were just.
Do you still see the same doctor?
Oh, hell no. That guy's a bastard. I'd like to elbow him in the face repeatedly if I could just get the chance.
Yeah.
And the truth is, he's not exactly all to blame. They get kickbacks for recommending certain medications. He was also he was giving me a dose that was way higher than anything I would ever need, even if I needed that medication. This is stuff you give people for, like, epilepsy and...
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, I could and probably should sue, and I just have never. I'm not a litigious person. I sort of chalk it up to life experience, and I move on. And people will notice that post 04, that's when I went crazy and decided I was going to grab my life by the goonies and go crazy with podcasting and my art and everything else. And so, maybe in some weird way, I owe a lot to that experience because it really taught me to sort of grab life by the nuts and not let go.
Well, now you can't sue because they download episode 15 of Hypothetical Help and play it. And they'd be like, "Your Honor, you see, actually, the defendant did really good stuff for this guy." So,
yeah,
it's all good.
There's an issue there. But, anyway, just from my experience, I'm very wary of medication for medication's sake. But if you are truly in a position of it being a real problem, more than it is me, like what Terpster just read about ADD describes me. I mean, that's me. So maybe I'd be diagnosed with
that. Struggle to follow instructions. Do you do that?
I
had an IKEA cabinet once, and I was like, "This is not how it looks."
I don't struggle following them. I get really bored with it. Like if I get really long emails, I skim, man. Just like dap dap dap. Where's the
trouble completing or turning in homework assignments?
That is to say, yes, I did when I did them. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I think everyone like, "Oh man, you haven't done your homework. You probably need to have some drugs."
Yeah. And then one other recommendation, do not ever go to WebMD or any of these web-based resources for trying to self-diagnose what's wrong with you. When I was going through that and didn't know it was the pills, I would go to WebMD. And by the time I'd leave WebMD, I had colon rectal cancer. I had brain aneurysms.
I have yellow monkey disease. It sounds cool, but it's very dangerous.
My left lung was growing on the outside, things like that.
Yeah.
Stay away from that. But
I have both male and female reproductive organs. This is crazy. Nice. That's why I've got headaches all this time.
I'm not in the mood, I keep telling myself. beyond that, it's hard to say without knowing more about you personally. But honestly, I'm just going to recommend caution. That's all. Just be careful.
And at the same time, I think it's worth noting, obviously, Scott had a bad experience with a doctor, but 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, they tend to know what they're doing as well. So it might be worth asking a proper doctor as well, rather than just us. But I think Scott's hit it on the head, though, is that if you can manage without them, then that's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah,
if it's not too bad. But obviously, I think you've got to keep monitoring it as well to see how you continue to manage with that. I think with these horse tranquilizers that you were prescribed, if you'd only taken them for a week, you probably would have been okay.
Oh, I'd have been fine.
For a short duration. But it's the fact of because you continued that. So even then, hopping back on the medication isn't a bad thing. And it probably won't set you back, depending obviously on how long you're back on them for. And sometimes you just need something to take the edge off it. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, doctors, see them. They know what they're talking about.
2.5 months of taking those pills produced 6 years of all sorts of residual problems and issues that are.
But some sweet podcasts.
Yeah, but so, some awesome podcasting. So.
Swings and roundabouts.
Indeed. All right. So good luck to you. We wish for you to have the best of times. Let's move on to another call. This is.
I hope he listened to all of that, in all fairness.
Oh, yeah, he may have gotten distracted. Yeah.
Yeah.
He may have said, "Oh, what's this other podcast?" And quit.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Oh, the Movielicious. Yeah, I'll download that.
All right, where are we? Oh, having an appealing voice for shows and podcasting is kind of a hard thing. I understand how this guy feels, so let's...
I don't have a clue.
Terpster will sit this one out.
I
He's got that figured
relate.
Out. Yeah, not really his problem.
Hey, Scott and Terpster. This is Taylor, the host of the Casual Geek Podcast, and I have a problem. I am not like Terpster, in which I am British and have a sexy accent. and I am not like Scott and just have an awesome voice. One of the things as a podcaster, you do want to sound somewhat interesting on your show, so a lot of your viewers, you know, will listen to it and not fall asleep. So what do you guys do to make your voice sound more appealing to your audience? Thank you, and love the show.
Me, 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 me.
I was just about to start doing some scales and being like, you know, do some Ron Burgundy. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. You know, that sort of stuff. You need to make sure you can articulate the words right. I don't. I slur my words all the time. I say the wrong word. I say completely the wrong thing all the time. Yeah. I think the thing I've noticed with you, Scott, is you have a fantastic radio voice. You have one of those boomy, bassy kind of radio voices. Mm. And I reckon if I met you in real life, you'd be like, oh, hi, Terpster, what's going on?
How's it going?
I reckon it's all mic setup. I reckon it's all preamp, you know, presets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if I actually met you, you'd be very trebly.
Trebly is the word I would use. No, actually, I hate my... This will come as no surprise to most people when thinking of their own voices, but I can't really... I've gotten used to it to the point now where I don't really think about it, but I don't like my voice. I don't like the sound of it. So
I can't believe that.
I know, which a lot of people... That surprises a lot of people. But the problem is, this is a common human trait that we hear our own voices and it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like we hear it in our heads. And because of that, it sounds off and we therefore don't usually end up liking the way it sounds. I would come right out and say that this guy has just a fine voice to me. It doesn't sound like anything terrible. He's not annoying me. He's not grating on me.
That being said, Scott, if you played me back all the voices today, I don't think I'd be able to pick out which one was his.
That's a good point.
I think maybe if he added a bit of a kind of a bit of a tick to his voice. So it'd be like, hello and welcome to this show when I'm going to talk to you guys about what's going on in the world of whatever I'm talking about, in this case, geeks. And I'd think like, oh, yeah, I totally remember that guy with the weird, yeah. You know, instantly,
possibly.
You're memorable.
Possibly.
It might be a little bit grating, actually, now I'm thinking about it, but still.
I'll say this, though, okay? Having heard just recently a very early sample of Terpster's first foray into podcasting, you've made amazing progress.
I've come a long way.
You have. And you know what? If you go back and listen to my initial Infiltration Radios in 1999, or you listen to the first Extra Life Radio I recorded in 03, all this before podcasting, or even some of the stuff I recorded in 05, if you listen to that stuff and then listen to me now, I guarantee there's a huge difference. And it just comes from doing it.
Oh, without that, I mean, the first ever Where Inside the Show I ever did. Again, because I was with people I'd never really met before. It was with a strange format we didn't really understand. You kind of hold back a little bit. And I think you probably even hear it on this show, or maybe even the first instance that we were on together versus this show right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd imagine our dynamic would be completely different because we've never spoke with each other before. We don't know, you know, how much one person dominates a particular kind of topic or, you know, little things like that, and just how to react to each other as well, which makes it quite interesting. Mm-hmm. I think we're quite lucky in that because there's two of us,
yeah.
If people don't like my voice, I know, stupid people, then they probably like your voice.
Yeah.
And so we've got that kind of both sides covered. It's harder if you're doing it by yourself. You know, you've got a, but I think, yeah, again, there's nothing wrong with this guy's voice, obviously. But again, it sounds silly, but maybe playing about with your mic presets and things like that, see if there's, you know, see if by changing the levels around, you can get a sound which you prefer listening to.
Yeah.
And if you like it more, then why not?
Yeah. I should tail in this by saying I didn't get into podcasting because I thought I had a good voice. Like, that was not my determiner at all. Wasn't even close. It wasn't even the first thing I thought about, or even the second thing, or even the 100th thing. The thing I
got in
to
it
do,
for the ladies.
Yeah. He got
the
in it for the chicks.
The amount of ladies we get. Oh. Crazy.
I got into it for the free swag that occasionally comes my way. But no, I mean, yeah, I'm lucky, I think, to have a voice that people like. I don't necessarily always hear it, but it's appealing from what I've been told. And that's good. I'm lucky that that's all true, but I'd have done it without it anyway.
No,
and
true,
you should
true.
Too.
But like we said last week, we were talking about the other guy asking about help on podcasting. It's not just what you sound like, it is what you say.
Yeah.
You could have the sexiest voice in the world, but if you're saying boring things, then I'll probably turn off after a while, probably once I'm finished. But, you know, past that, it's that sort of thing where, you know, a sexy voice will only take you so far.
That's right. Absolutely right. I will point to one example at Pixar, a company mm-hmm. I admire greatly. They oftentimes, you know, voice work is everything in animation. It's like the your characters are so determined by who you hire as voice talent. And Pixar's, you know, thankfully got access to a lot of really good talent, and they hire them for that. But occasionally they'll have a stand-in voice during storyboard moments or something where it was so perfect, they'll just go back and use it. Like they used Brad Bird, for example, as the chick that makes costumes in The Incredibles. They just kept him and said, well, you kind of nailed it, so why are we hiring out for this? So they'll just keep him. Okay, well, it turns out he was perfect for it. Another good example is Ratatouille. The main character, Linguini, is played by, I can't remember his name, but he's an animator.
Patton Oswalt.
No, you're thinking of the rat. I'm thinking of
Oh, sorry, which one are we talking about?
The dude. The man.
Oh, sorry, that guy. Oh, yeah. Right, sorry, yeah.
He has an incredibly interesting voice for that character. And you hear it and you go, oh, that's got to be somebody kind of famous or something. Like, he's really good at this. Nope, just an animator at Pixar. Someone thought his voice was funny. Let's use it. You know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and his brother, the rat that played his brother, another animator at Pixar, just a dude. But they just nailed it. And so I guess my point is, you can nail it too. There's no reason why you can't find your voice, not literally the pitch and the sound of your voice, but your voice as a whole. What do you sound like combined with what you are saying and how are you saying it? So there you go.
Yeah, that, or you could start drinking Power Thirst. Ooh. Power Thirst, you know, that'll give you some.
Now, what is Power Thirst? Is that an energy drink of some sort?
It's just it's that mock energy drink video, you know, Power Thirst.
Oh, yeah. Right. I thought maybe it was a British thing where we have Powerade, you have Power Thirst.
Maybe. I'm sure it's full of electrolytes.
You guys know
lightning storms.
And lightning storms. Yeah. Perfect.
And houses.
And Zeus. And Lord Zeus. All right, moving on from that. Good luck to you. Let us know how you do. Making friends as you get older is not easy, according to our next caller.
Hey, Scott and Terpster. My name's Gabe. I'm 12 years old. And I've lived in like 4 states in the past. And I'm moving again. And I'm 12. And as I get older and older, it gets harder and harder to make new friends. And I'm also, I'm wondering how, if you've got any advice on how to make friends, and also how to maintain your relationships with your old friends. Ooh. Thanks, Scott. Whatever your advice would be great. And I love the show. You too, Terpster. Bye.
What? Did he just say, I love the show, you
too,
Terpster?
So he loves the show and you.
And me? Or does he love the show? And yeah, I know Terps was rubbish in it, but I like you as well, mate.
Yeah,
so,
you're okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure he give you a fair shake there. He's a young tyke, sounds like.
But he's 12. I mean, I'm trying to think back, but 12, you're starting to go through a lot of changes, aren't you? Really, as a young man.
Yep.
Yeah. Then you're becoming a young man, and it can be quite awkward. So I can understand if he's kind of losing a bit of self confidence. And he said he's moving away. So he's moving to another state, I'm guessing, or another city.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tricky going someplace new and knowing no one.
Oh, it's a huge pain in the butt. Yeah. I used to hate
I've had it a few times happen in terms of like moving in new schools and things like that. And I'm very fortunate in that I'm a very lovable person. And so it doesn't take me long. But the main thing is it's all about confidence, I find, in that you have to talk to people for them to kind of get to know you and you to get to know them. And then you kind of get an idea of if you want to be friends with each other. The hard thing can be if you're very kind of self-conscious, as is kind of perfectly natural, I guess, at a 12-year-old kind of age, it can be hard to be confident and to go out there and to talk to other people, to meet them and interact with them and thusly become friends, because you're a little bit worried about how you are and how you'll be perceived. But I think, yeah, the guy sounds cool. You know, he likes me, so he's obviously got good taste.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a case of, you know, kind of just going out there and just, you know, when you go to these places, you know, go to the parks, go to the malls, go to wherever you kids hang out these days. And then obviously at schools and things like that. And just make sure you talk to people. You know, you're going to get a gauge of the types of kind of niches that are around in terms of who's with who, like the sports, you know, the jocks and the geeks and stuff like that. And wherever you feel comfortable with whoever you think has similar interests to yourself, it's probably best going over, chatting to them and seeing, you know, if your assumptions were correct and maybe something can go from there.
I'm going to recommend, I'd recommend also, if you have opportunities and chances in school or otherwise, to publicly speak, to say things in front of smaller or larger group of people, take those opportunities. I just went through this kind of thing with my daughter where she had to speak in front of about 200 people and she was terrified. She'd never done anything like it before. She was sure she was going to just faint and die. She was going to throw up. She's, I mean, she was so stressed out.
It was going to be really quiet, and then she was going to let out a massive fart. And then everyone would just be like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
Did you hear that?
Exactly.
No, but I can smell it. And that would have been it. She would have been over.
Would have gone down as the worst thing in her history, and she was so stressed. She's just slightly older than you, so there's, you know, she's at a similar stage in her life. And she did it, and it was so empowering. And so such a relief to be done, but also this sense of, wow, I can actually do that. The reason I'm saying this, it seems unrelated, but that kind of stuff is really good for how you interact and communicate with people that are potentially new friends. You'll have more confidence. You'll be able to show them that you can kind of hold your own. The kids who show confidence always win. The kids who are nervous, self-conscious, show weakness, are always picked on, always bugged, you know, by other kids. They're bully fodder. If you can be that confident kid,
you can be the one doing the bullying.
You'll own that school. You'll be the one the bullies like and the victims like, because you don't care about any of that. You'll be the kid.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be the kid everybody wants to hang out with. So shoot for that. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, my gosh, I was the most insecure 12-year-old there ever was. But I look back at myself and go, dude, what were you doing? Why couldn't you have seen the world for what it was? Just backed out a little bit, got a new perspective and said, oh my gosh, I can run this school, you know? I mean,
you move into the principal's office, you change up the administration a bit, and before you know, they're making more profit than ever. They're like,
right.
Oh, this is crazy. You're amazing.
Yeah. My life could have been some 80s high school movie. And instead it was an 80s high school. That was it. No movie.
It's a shame, really, because I reckon it would have been a good movie.
It would have been.
I'd have watched it.
John Hughes would have directed. Would have been amazing. Anyway, good
Macaulay
luck to
Culkin
you,
kid. Would have played you.
Yeah.
It would have been this bit where you tried on aftershave, but it stung. And you'd been like, ah! Yeah. And you'd run around the hall.
Oh.
But it's all right, because everyone was really confident.
The one last thing I wanted to say, I almost forgot, is realize, too, that at 12, the world is not what you think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like this idea that you're like, this is how life is this or whatever. It's not.
It goes downhill from 12, so enjoy it.
Yeah. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening. Terpster's in his 20s. He's living large. And he used to be this fat, pimply little kid.
No, I did I'm once making, upon a time.
I'm making all
now
that.
Now look at me.
Yeah.
Look like at Zeus's son.
You're like Hercules.
Heracles. I'm more of a Greek.
Heracles.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Very nice. All right.
Also, in terms of the ladies.
Girls. Yeah, we forgot.
Was he trying to keep a girlfriend? He's moving away and wants to keep one? Or is it a case of when he gets there, he wants to get one and keep one?
It sounded like he wanted, when he gets there, if he meets someone, how can he keep her?
When you're older, there's something we call the Korean barbecue. But until then, again, it's all about confidence. If you're confident enough to talk to a girl, that's 95% of the battle. It's just talking to them, because once you're talking to someone, you can relate with them and you can interact with them, and that's what friendships, be they between, you know, platonic friends and lovers, it's all built around interaction. If you can get over that hurdle, and like I said, it's not easy. You know, if it was easy, everyone would be, you know, up here telling you how to do it. We find it easy, obviously, because we're internet superstars,
right?
But it's one of those things where, you know, with time and practice, and you've got loads of time. You're very fortunate being 12. I wish I could have phoned into an internet advice show at 12.
Oh my gosh.
What you can do is you can talk to them and just find out if you kind of click, and if you do, then just take it from there. See where it goes. Don't plan. Just do. Just live.
And if it doesn't work, move on to the next one. Don't get wrapped
up
in why it didn't work.
You're fine. You're going to have about 18 she's the ones before you even get to 18. Mm. So you'll be loving it.
Yeah.
Enjoy them before you get to 13 even. You're going to be loving it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Have as much fun as you can while you can, 12-year-old young man. All right. Your voice is going to change too soon, real soon. Speaking of voices.
Yeah.
So good.
You might be able
to
do podcasts.
Indeed. Let's move on to our, what are we doing now? Oh, we're about out of here. But before we go, we'd like to give a little shout out in iTunes to some fine folks who left us some nice 5-star reviews. This week, I'm going to mention someone from the U.S. store. From the Hip Hop Apotamus. I think this guy actually did it before, but I'm going to mention him again. He said, what a fantastic show. Scott Johnson does a masterful job combining his talents with Terpster's awesomeness. Thank you very much. He He says, we have the star power and humor of the world-renowned comedian Ricky Gervais.
Awesome.
So that's you, not me.
No, I think we do, though. Together, you've got the star power, and I've got the sparkle power.
I have the height.
I think My Little Ponies, but I'm not sure.
I have the height and length of Stephen Merchant. So.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah. He's actually from Bristol, where I'm from. So.
Oh, really?
If anything, I should be Stephen Merchant, but I'll let you be him. I'll be Ricky Gervais, the short, squat one.
That works. Brilliant. That works. What do you got in the UK store? Anything new?
In the UK, I'm going to read one. It's a little bit old, but it makes me laugh. Okay. Roll the A-team music.
Oh, here.
Okay, hang on. This is from Nice Bloke D20. 5 stars. I love it when a hypothetical plan comes together. In 2010, a crack podcasting unit was sent to prison by an internet court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from dull podcasts to the iTunes underground. Today, still wanted by women everywhere, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the hypothetical team. I don't like the end. I think, you know, the hypothetical team is, we're not, are we the hypothetical team? We are a team.
Here's the Japanese version.
Hypothetical team. Starring I don't know, plane. Or am I? I don't know. It's hypothetical.
That, for those wondering
Joe Johnson.
People wondering why that
podcast comes together.
They could call me Mad Dog. Or no, what's the guy's
Murdoch.
Murdoch. I want to be that guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I'd see you as a Hannibal. I'd see you as a planning man.
I hear
you. Obviously, I am like Face and BA got together and had a baby. I don't know how it works.
Whoa.
But that's me.
Whoa, that is not an episode I witnessed.
Just a beautiful guy who could beat you up.
Yeah,
that's me.
For those who just heard that and thought, that doesn't sound like the A-Team music, this is the Japanese version of the A-Team song. It's so bad.
Oh, I'd love to see the Japanese A-Team.
I would too.
Just to see them all just be like, oh, I am BA. No, I am BA. And then they're like... I am totally more like BA. Look at me. I have gold chains.
BA stand for bad attitude. Be like that. Don't mess with me. I have a mohawk. Yeah.
Oh, they should make that if they haven't already.
Well, I think it exists. I think that's pretty much where that came from. I'm pretty sure there's a Japanese version, not just a, you know, a translation American version with, you know, subtitles. We got to get our hands on that, dude.
That would be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
That'd be good times. Well, in the meantime, we should tell people how they can enjoy being part of this show. You can call us on our gob line. That number is 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0GOB. That's where you can leave a question for us to do right here on Hypothetical Help, just like you heard on the rest of the show. You can also send your files, audio files, to podcast at hypotheticalhelp.com. Visit the site hypotheticalhelp.com and follow us on Twitter. You can find the Terpster at the T. No, it's
the underscore T.
The
nice,
underscore
nearly.
T. And where am I?
Extra life.
Oh, I was hoping you'd mess it up.
Yeah, extra life. You spell it with an O.
Very nice. Very good work.
I can't find this A-Team Japanese thing. All I'm getting is A-Team, like the Japanese defense works as a team. I don't know.
What? Maybe it's animated. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's...
pretty badass, though, still.
Yeah, I mean, a badass is right. Listen. Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, it's so wrong. It's so good.
It's so great. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next episode, which will be what? It'll be 15 of Hypothetical Help. We're looking forward to that. Until then, everyone, please take care, and we'll see you then.
Remember to look both ways when crossing the road. Just gave a last little bit of advice there for free.
Don't fart in your speech.
Oh, don't. Yeah, don't now. Not during the silent bit.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.